what you waiting on? Check checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show, turn your radio on. Kelsey just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium, I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother, make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students, nah. Everyone can do it, do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative, maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You could catch me every Monday at the kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Deli, shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Deli, you know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony, 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 Tony. Go BBS Radio.
We're live here at University Field, Auto Nation Football Field. Hey, Ryan, is a big matchup this week between St. Thomas Aquinas and St. John Bosco. You had a chance to travel to California. You had a chance to look at Bosco at his finest. You're looking at him close up. Let's start breaking down this game when it comes to, you know, when I look at St. Thomas and I think about him this year, I think more of defense. Then in the past, mm-hmm. You always thought about St. Thomas's offense.
Right.
Now here we go. We're looking at St. Thomas's defenses that we're talking about. So since we're talking about their strength of the defense, give us a little insight on how strong is Bosco's offense.
Well, first off, Bosco is the preseason ranked number one team in the country for Max Preps. I think St. Thomas, who is looking for their fourth consecutive state title, they're ranked number 14 in the country. So ESPNU got this one right. I think we get, in high school terms, like a BCS bowl game right off the get-go. Because St. Thomas is as good a program as you're going to find in the country. It's obviously the cream of the cream in the state of Florida year in, year out. Well, Bosco is that in the last 10 years in Southern California. Last year, they went on this incredible run. They beat Modern Day, who's absolutely loaded,
okay,
and Corona Centennial, who's loaded, averages 60-plus points a game, and De La Salle in back-to-back weeks to win the state title. That's like if you are Auburn and you beat LSU, Texas A&M, and Alabama in three straight weeks.
All in one run. And when you talk about some of those games that they had when they competed, you're talking about De La Salle, you're talking about all that, and you got to go through all this to get to the state championship. When you say battle-tested, these guys are battle-tested. Now, how many of these guys are returning from that team of last year? Now, when we talk about that
team, a lot of it,
you can understand that.
A lot of it. I mean, it starts with the quarterback is back. Rial Mitchell, I see his mom right here, who we remember as Blaze from American Gladiators from years ago.
Yes.
But Rial is a guy that's a legit dual threat. He runs a 4.4 laser. Okay. He's a sub-21 200 guy. He's the one that put him on their back and really carried them through that playoff stretch. They also have three Division I wide receivers that are all juniors, led by Josh Delgado, who's a four-star guy. You got Bowman out there. So they have young weapons at wideout. You have two stud backs led by Demetrius Flowers. He's a Arizona State four-star commit. Now, they're young up front on the offensive line. They lose U.S. Army All-American Wyatt Davis, who is now at Ohio State, just got his black stripe ripped off his helmet the other day. So he's impressing Urban and the guys already.
Yes.
And then on defense, they're loaded in the secondary. They got a couple UCLA commits. You got Jaden Woodby, who's actually an Ohio State commit, one of the top safeties in the country. And they're young up front in the front seven of the defense. So I think, you know, there's not too many times St. Thomas can play a team that has as many D1 guys as they do, but they're both 20-plus deep. These are two of the more heavily recruited programs in the country. And when I'm talking about in spring, from April 15th to May 31st, they both have 200-plus schools that go through there.
And as you say, they're in here early. It's not often, you know, when I pulled in, I'm thinking about major college programs, and I'm thinking about the NFL. It's not too many teams travel in almost five days prior to a big game. The big boys don't even do it. So I wonder, and you get a chance to talk to Coach Nego, what went into his planning as we had him on the show on Tuesday. really what went into the planning when you're talking about bringing this many guys. Normally here in the state of Florida, you can only, when it comes to playoff, you only travel with like 40 guys as a travel team.
Right.
We can see as we look out on this field, it's more than 40 guys that have traveled with this unit.
Yeah, and I think his plan was you take that red eye on Monday and you get into Fort Lauderdale at 6 in the morning, so Correct. You're starting the body process of getting these kids on East Coast time. And then you try to the best you can, and I think this is their biggest challenge throughout the week, get accommodated to the humidity.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing that makes Southern California, one, the cost of living so much, there is no humidity there. Here, there's humidity every day and rain, and they're seeing some of that. And that'll come into a factor come Friday night once you get in the second half. Because if these kids aren't hydrated, you'll see cramps. And we see that all the time down here in South Florida. So that's, I think, a part of a factor. But he's got a good week set up. This is a great practice facility at University School here.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking turf field. We're talking kind of secluded.
Auto Nation.
Yeah, caged in here. So it's a nice setup. You get good practices, good walkthroughs. And, last night he took them to Las Olas in terms of going to see Fort Lauderdale Beach. You take them on the Jungle Cruise at night. Tonight they're having dinner at Bow Campers to experience a dolphin great hip Bow Camper. So you get a little taste of South Florida too.
But now when you think about all the things that they've done, and they've, like you say, they went the Jungle Queen, they're doing a lot of the exciting things that South Florida has to offer. But heck, when you look at some of the big boys have problems themselves when it comes to adjusting to all this.
Right.
You know, they don't adjust well when it comes to a lot of
this program every year. Last year they played in Ohio in the kickoff classic, played in Washington, D.C. 2 years ago they played their sister school, a powerhouse that St. Thomas fans are real familiar in, Don Bosco in North Jersey, went to a Yankees game before Correct. That. They played in Portland, Oregon. I remember a couple of years ago watching these guys at Bosco late on a Friday night playing in Honolulu at St. Louis High School.
Wow.
And that thing stayed on ESPNU till I think 6 in the morning, Fort Lauderdale time. Specifically remembering that game because who was the quarterback for St. Louis High School at that time? Tua Tagovailoa, who is now the backup at Alabama, who will factor in. So he's brought this as a national program. You got to go out of state. You got to play games on that stage on national TV. So this isn't their first rodeo. They've kind of had this schedule and this organization before. And the only thing difference now is in terms of the humidity, which I'll probably bring up a couple times in the next hour, but that's their biggest factor throughout this week just because it's something they're not used to seeing every day in Cali.
And like I said, they're not used to. But it's in, like you say, Southern California, and there's a song came out, It Doesn't Rain in Southern California. They're getting the chance to see some of this South Florida rain. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break. We're going to play a couple songs, and we're going to come back, and we're going to start digging deeper in to this matchup Friday night at St. Thomas Aquinas High School. And we're going to see what some South Florida fans said in reference to this big game. Stay tuned here to the Tony Sands Show as we go to a commercial break, prayer about two songs, and we're coming back to dive deep into this game.
I'm like, hey, what's up, hello? Since you're pretty, soon as you came in the door, I just wanna chill, got a sack for us to roll. Married to the money, introduced her to my stove, showed her how to whip and now she remixing for low. She my track queen, let her hit the bando. We be counting up.
We're live back here on the Tony Sands Show. You can call the Tony Sands Show if you want to talk to me or any of my guests that we have here on the Tony Sands Show. You can call us at 888-710-8061. That's 888-710-8061. Or you can call us directly at 323-744-8823. That's 323-744-4828. We're live here at Auto Nation Football Field at the practice of St. John Bosco High School out of California as they get ready for the big matchup against St. Thomas Aquinas. If you're in Canada, You can call us at 888-429-5471 or the U.S. That's 888-429-5471. Or you can call me and speak to me direct at 323-744-4841. That's 323-744-4841. You can call us and chime in with us and give us your opinion on how you see the outcome of this game going. We're live here at AutoNation Field. You are on listening to the Tony Sands Show. As we broke down this game between the two, the number one and number 13 in USA Today's high school football. But Roger Harrod against Coach Negro. Coach Negro, and they pretty much got backgrounds somewhat similar. Coach Negro, the school that they has an enrollment of about 800, but they are a big team. They are very big when it comes to it. But then you look at Roger Harrod, who came from a school like came from and built this university program that Coach Bros Negro and Bosco are practicing on. He built this program to a powerhouse, and now he goes on to St. Thomas Aquinas, where now it will be a capacity crowd that's coming to see this game. It's the biggest game this week in high school sports across the country. This is a big game, and as we told you, they're not shy to having celebrities on their sideline either. We're hoping to get an interview with Blaze from American Gladiators. From American Gladiators, we're hoping to get her on an interview. Her son plays here for Bosco High School. But like I said, we're going to bring some players up, and we're going to look at this matchup. When I look at this matchup, I'm looking at St. Thomas's defense versus Bosco's offense. And these guys are putting up big points, and they're holding their opponents down. When you look at breaking it down, like I say, you look at the touchdown when it comes to opponents versus them, 68-0. Extra points, 8-0. They're doing total offense. They're putting up over, they compare 1,062 to 255 when it comes to them against their opponents when you look at total offense and offensive points gained. So they're putting up some points. But now St. Thomas defense, when you look at who is coached by, when you look at Roger Harrod is over the whole program, but then you look at, you got a Jason Taylor coaching that D-line, a Hall of Famer that just went into the Hall of Fame. You can't get no better than that. Then you got Twan Russell working with the linebackers, another Miami Dolphin product. But then you go a little step further in the secondary, and you get Sam Madison. Sam Madison, all-pro corner, coaching the secondaries. When you're talking about secondary, you're talking about Sam Madison and Asante Samuels. Asante Samuels is the son of the great Asante Samuels that played with the Atlanta Falcons. So you know that pedigree is a great pedigree to have when it comes to the pedigree of this. But we're looking out here over this, and we can see right now they're going over special teams. Ryan went down to talk with Coach. We're looking at special teams. The quarterback is getting ready, is on his way up here, and we're looking at the special teams as they're working on special teams, because special, they understand that there are several phases to this game. There's offense, defense, and special teams. So both of these teams understand the importance of special teams, and they work this special teams like no other. They are one of the best when it comes to Southern California at putting up big numbers. When it comes to picking up the big numbers on the special team, they are important to it. And Ryan is back with us. Ryan, coming, standing on the field, give me some things when it comes to these guys, and I see they're working on special teams. How important, as I told them, St. Thomas understands the emphasis of special teams, and I can see Coach Negro understands the importance of special teams.
Right. When you have the head coach that is, you know, hands-on as a special teams coach, you know, it's valuable. And yes, Bosco, through the years, just like St. Thomas, they've, you know, made a living on scoring in the special teams game, especially the punt block and the punt return. And when you're trying to defend a guy like Tavares, yes, Kelly, who's probably the fastest kid at St. Thomas, a Virginia commit, you don't want to give him too much space or even maybe even an opportunity, because yes, it could be six the other way.
Now, Ryan, let's break down now. Let's break down. Let's go outside. Let's go to receivers versus DBs.
Okay.
Let's grade that out. Let's look at Bosco's receivers. How do they grade out against going up against St. Thomas's secondary?
Right. Well, that's St. Thomas's strength, because you got the two stud corners with Jaden Davis, who's one of the best in Florida for next year, and Asante Samuel.
Yes.
And then you pull a guy off the bench like an Al Blades, a four-star guy from Miami. So they can match up. They would have the advantage in that because Bosco's three receivers are all juniors.
Correct.
So they're kind of as talented as they are. This is their first time, for a lot of them, on this type of stage in this type of atmosphere. So I would consider that an advantage. I think, in terms of where St. Thomas is going to have the biggest advantage, I think Bosco is struggles some in the front seven on defense. A lot of those games that I mentioned that they won in the playoffs last year, a lot of them were 60-56,
correct,
high scoring, wide open. I mean, they have one of the best offensive coordinators, I think, in the country, and Chad Johnson. They run the RPO game. They're going to put up points in every game they get into, but at the same time, they're also going to give up some points.
And that's when you also stated that St. Thomas pulling a four-star off the bench to go into
depth.
If they go four wides, do St. Thomas now bring their whole nickel package in, and now you got the best of the best on the field?
Right, and I think St. Thomas has a better pass rush in terms of Nick Benito. You got Dummerville in the middle. You got Solomon along with Rocky Shelton, that linebacker. Mm-hmm. So that's actually a strength for St. Thomas, kind of like we kicked off the show tonight. St. Thomas probably a little stronger, a little more experienced on the defensive side. And they're adjusting to a new system on offense.
Right.
Let's see what Ryan Collins has up his sleeve, because he came out and probably played a lot of vanilla stuff or did some different stuff with a new QB last week with Castile. I think ideally he wants to run the ball downhill. He wants to get the ball in Daniel Carter's hands, and then that opens up your playmakers on the outside: Tavarius Kelly, Tariq Phillips, Elijah Moore, who I love, a Georgia commit.
Yes.
I think he's going to be a big factor in the game. So, again, they put up 33 against Dillard last week, which is good because Dillard's always an impressive defensive team. But you might need more than 33 Friday.
Now, you bring a young
man. You can tell I'm kind of leaning towards taking the over in this one. Yeah,
you want to take the over, but when you got to understand,
this it's early in the season.
This first game of the season, they're taking their long trip to the East Coast.
Yep.
They come to the East Coast. Not only when they come to the East Coast, they're here 4 days.
Yep.
Getting around in this excitement, and when they walk into St. Thomas' Stadium, it's going to be an atmosphere probably, you know, that early in the year for young guys.
Right, and it's on national TV.
On national television.
So there's going to be some anxiety, some excitement.
Exactly.
But they're also going to be hot. I was just talking to five-star safety Jaden Woodby, who's ranked as one of the top in the country. He's a U.S. Army All-American. Got him on the sidelines here. And he's like, man, I'm drinking water even if I'm not thirsty.
and
I'm stretching and I'm taking these precautionary methods. But he also gave me the quote of the night.
But wait a minute. How much does that mentally plays into these kids' head?
Right.
Now, does that affect them on the negative side, that they thinking like, well, I got to drink water, and they get caught up in, man, they can get hot down here in South Florida. Do they get caught up in that? Because like I say, you know and I know, it's going to take you more than a week to get adjusted and adapted to South Florida heat.
Well, I've lived here 4 years, and I'm not adjusted.
Exactly. So imagine playing. You're traveling, you're playing, and now you've heard constantly here, oh, you got to adapt to the heat. You got to adapt to the heat. Then he tells you, oh, I'm drinking water even if I'm not tired.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe not to him, but to some of those guys, when that battle gets heated, and it's going to get hot in St. Thomas Stadium real fast.
Yes.
Not only from the heat, but just from the emotions and the excitement of this game when you're talking about a national television game. Like I say, this is the big stage. This is one of the biggest stages. This reminds me of the matchup between Alabama and Florida State coming up.
It's that kind of game.
Yes.
And plus, remember, it's on national TV, so you got the hype of that.
Yes.
St. Thomas is going to have a lot of alums there, too, so I'm sure the sideline will be back.
Yes, it's alumni week that week. It's so ironic because they had alumni week last week, and the turnout was so great. They had one of their, you know, they had their Hall of Famer on the sideline. You got a chance to, you know, to rap with them, and he
with the
loves
playmaker.
Yes, that's what I'm saying, Michael Irvin. So coming into this, and I know you probably got into his head a little bit and told him that this team is coming. Come on, let's get into it. Yeah. What was his thoughts on this upcoming matchup when it comes to the big stage?
Right, and you know, he's going to be a little biased because he's only seen those TVs, and he thinks it's just going to be like this team from California that doesn't want to hit.
You
just got to stop their run, and that's it. But, I mean, there's a reason why all these receivers have offers from Stanford and Arizona State and Washington, and they do play football out there, and they do put up points. It's QB heaven for a reason.
I think they have
the X factor in this game, and he's a guy later in the show we'll get on in Rial Mitchell, who – he may not be the fastest guy in the game, but he's either second or third, and he's going to tuck it and run it and play 12 against 11, and that's always an X factor when you have a dual-threat QB like that.
And like I said, I'm quite sure the hype at some point, you know, the first couple of plays, now, and they're big up front, though. They're bigger than what I expected.
Got some of those poly kids, as you can see, too.
Yes, they're big. When I say huge, they're big up front. You look at that left side of that offensive line, those guys are huge.
Right.
Now, how much does that play into a factor where you say, okay, now it's going to be a battle of St. Thomas defensive line who's stout against their offensive line? That defense matching the offense, because I think that's where this game is going to come to. I don't think it's going to rely in Ryan Collins up against their defensive coordinator. I think it's going to be their offense against St. Thomas's defense is going to be the turn in that game. And then,
because that's big on big.
Yes, yes.
That's, I mean, one of the better defenses in the country against one of the better offenses. Here's the quote, though, that's going to stir stuff up. I'm going to just put it on the show. I can't put it on Twitter because I know Coach Negro will get after my butt. But just talking to Jaden Woodby, there's no lack of confidence with him. I'm like, so what do you think for Friday? He's like, I think we'll probably win by 30.
Wow.
And I'm like, 30. And I looked at him and said, welcome to South Florida, brother.
South Florida. He is. Well, like I said, he's from South. Keep him Southern California.
Right. You know what he needs to do? He needs to call the coach that he committed, Urban Meyer, and say, hey, I think we're going to beat St. Thomas Aquinas by 30. And he'll be like, I'm not sure if I want this guy anymore.
Because, like I say, he is from Southern California.
Yeah.
These guys are inner city guys understanding that what these kind of matchups come down to.
They're used to winning every game.
This is number one in the nation.
Yeah.
The number one ranked high school in the nation kicks off week one up against, and as already been stated, this St. Thomas is the number one winningest athletic program, number one winning athletic program in the country.
Yeah, what a treat. I mean, welcome back, football. We won't see a college game until Gary Anderson and the Beavers take the field at 2:30 on Saturday.
Oh, now there you, wait a minute. So you
just kind of sneaking that in there.
Snuck that in.
And then we won't see that till then. But on Friday, we get a treat like this. I mean, it's big on big. You probably won't see another game in the country, I don't think. Because I've been to both of these schools so many times where when I go to these schools, I got to be there 2 to 3 hours just to do 2 to 3 minute interviews with each of the kids because they're 25 D1 guys deep. Yeah. I mean, how many times there's probably games that'll happen this weekend, like BYU versus Portland State. We're going to see more talent Friday night than we will in that game.
Exactly. When let's break down. Okay, now let's go on the opposite side. We did say St. Thomas's defensive backs against their receivers. Now let's flip this thing.
Right.
Let's go their defensive backs against St. Thomas's wide receivers.
St. Thomas has probably faster kids and Moore and Kelly and Phillips, but they're also adjusting to a new QB.
Yes, that's
in Castile, where Rial Mitchell is returning QB, and he has the three junior he's coming in with more experience. Now that's the loaded part of the Bosco defense. With Chris Steele and Jaden Woodby, that's probably one of the better safety combos you're going to see in the country. Both their junior corners are D1 guys. One's heading to UCLA. So secondary's not short of talent in this game.
And when you said they're adjusting to a new quarterback, not only are they adjusting to a new quarterback, they're adjusting to a new play caller.
Yes, new system.
New system, new everything. So how does that play? And that's why I put if St. Thomas – has an opportunity to win, I think I'm going to put it more toward their defense than their offense, because the offense tend to take a little bit more time to adjust when it comes to these games.
And they have that all-star defensive staff.
Yeah. I mean, when you look
at Jason Taylor,
I spoke about it. Jason, You got Jason Taylor, a Hall of Famer, just went into the Hall of Fame, coaching you as a defensive line. Then you got Twan Russell coaching you as a linebacker.
Right.
And then you go one step further into the secondary, and you get Sam Madison.
Yes.
You can't ask for better teaching on that defensive side than that.
And this will be a new experience for those guys, too, because they're on the big stage. So,
Right off the bat, even though they played on the big stage,
right.
Now they are coaching on the big stage.
And like I said, they're going against an OC that has dialed it up and dropped 60 points on Modern Day, on De La Salle, on Centennial. So he's not afraid to run it up.
Yeah, and as you can see, like I say, when you're putting up those type of numbers on those teams, that's essential. And I'm quite sure Coach Harriet, Roger Harriet at St. Thomas Aquinas High School is looking at that.
Right.
I'm not sure he's looking at that to see, wait a minute, hold on. You know, telling his guys, wait a minute, don't think that this is another one of those out-of-state teams that are coming in ranked high and we're supposed to dominate because they're coming to South Florida. I'm quite sure he got those guys dialed in with how important this game is.
Right. I mean, they're coming in rankings-wise as the underdog. I mean, home field advantage, humidity advantage, probably overall talent advantage. Yes. But you have some new guys on the staff. It's early in the season, and you get a crack to play against number one.
Wow.
Who
would not want to? It reminds me of.
If you beat number one, you might be number one next week.
Yeah, what we call either knock the man off the hill. You're on top of the crown. You're the crown. So guess what? St. Thomas looking at it, they can't go no further than up.
Right.
And where they already are. Hey, the pressure now goes to Bosco.
Right, because they're walking in as the number one ranked team.
Yeah. And, so the pressure is on them to come
right,
to
and you won the state title in the third best state for talent in the country. I think the second best because there's more upside with the Cali kids. But that's – I mean, people don't realize California has to be the foundation, a recruiting base for three conferences in the country, the Mountain West and the Big Sky and the Pac-12. Everybody and their mother recruits Southern California there.
And as I look out over the field, like I told guys about this front line of Bosco. Let's look at big number 78.
Right.
And that dude
looks like a young Wyatt Davis.
Yeah. Then you go over there and you look at number 70. These guys got to be standing at least 6'5".
And look at number 5 in the backfield in the pistol. He's 6'2", 210, going to Arizona State. Demetrius Flowers.
The big boy.
Yeah, they're running some inside zone here, and he looks like he can hit that.
Can hit. And that's why it's going to be interesting to see how that defensive line hold up against these big fellas. Especially, I always say, when they get ready to get in the fourth quarter, when those bodies, your legs are tired, and those big bodies start leaning on you and leaning on you and leaning on you, how much does that play when it comes to this game? I'm telling you, this line is bigger than what St. Thomas has seen in a while when it comes to
and you got some tough kids, and they're just young there. I mean, number 78 is actually a sophomore. He's got four stars behind his name already, but
I could imagine.
Yeah. There's a play that they run quite a bit, getting number 11 on that inside zone and letting him rip.
And letting him pretty much do what he do. When, like I said, you look at that, it's not like tending in high school. You tend to get one side and you tend to get the other that's big. They're big across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Their center is, you look at it as one thing about judging the offensive lineman, you look at their, as coaches say, you look at their rear ends, and it's going to tell you what type of offensive lineman you're dealing with.
Plus, they don't huddle. They're probably snapping at 65, 70 times a game, which they're used to doing, but they're not used to doing it in humidity.
They're averaging 79 plays a game, bro.
Right, which for high school football is insane. Usually, high school football teams. Yeah, usually high school football teams snap about 50 times a game.
They're putting up, like I say, when you look at 79 plays.
Right. Now again, their offensive coordinator, Chad Johnson, who I know real well, he was actually offered the offensive coordinator job at UC Davis this offseason by Dan Hawkins.
Wow.
When Dan left, because remember, Butch Davis was going to bring him as his OC for FIU, and Dan left when he got the head job at UC Davis, and he thought that highly of Chad. So, but Coach Negro kept him there, and he's still dialing it up and looks like putting up a lot of points on everybody.
Still putting it in. And let's break this thing down. Like I said, when you look at the type of offense, I'm quite sure they're going to want to come in here and try to – first thing, they're going to probably come in here and see if they can smash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and see what they get away with and see how they're going to, because I'm quite sure they've heard a lot about St. Thomas's secondary. So they're probably going to say, we're going to go at the
50 defense and see if we find gaps.
We can find gaps in it, see if we can let guys run by guys, see if they do not play discipline.
Now look at the QB they're putting in now.
Yeah.
Big DJ, he is a 2020 national recruit ranked as the top QB in the country in his class. He's only a sophomore, and he is 6'4", 240. Wow. He has an offer from Southern Cal, Alabama, a few others, and hasn't even started a high school game. And this is a guy that we'll see after practice. He can throw it from one end zone to the other 20, 80 yards in the air as a sophomore in high school. Big-time baseball prospect, too. But you're just kind of seeing – because we don't see that in South Florida. We see depth on depth in terms of skill and speed. But we don't go to places where not only do they have one Division I QB, they got one two years younger.
That's what I'm saying. You have two.
Because even like a bigger recruit.
As you said, California is –
QB heaven.
QB heaven. So, I mean, when you look at a lot of quarterbacks around the country and, you look at the rosters of teams in the, at the NCAA level, and you see a lot of California guys on these rosters. And that's amazing. And now we get South Florida, we get a chance to see one in their backyard going up against, when you say it in decades, the best high school in South Florida when it comes to just football.
Oh, no doubt.
In decades.
So that's kudos to Coach Roger Harriet, Coach Jason Negro for getting this thing together and getting it done. Two of my favorites.
I mean, when you look at
because nobody loses in
you gotta have courage.
Yes,
you gotta have courage from a standpoint. You're just now starting out, because now guess what? The loser can possibly out of the national championship run right off the bat.
But to beat the man,
you gotta to be on the big stage, and you want to be on the big stage. You got to play the big-time games.
On those levels. And it's a thing that these kids will remember forever. Yes. They're playing on national TV, on ESPNU. And it's most of all, I love these games like this because it's going to prepare you for beyond anything you'll see when it really matters in the state playoffs.
Especially, like you say, you name some of the schools, USC, Arizona State, some of the schools that these young men are going to. That's what they're going to see when they're playing in the Pac-10. They're going to see smack good football week in and week out.
I'll be interested to see if they put Big DJ in the game at all to run or to throw. And then maybe even, if your QB is your fastest guy, maybe you flex him out and run him on a reverse or something. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, just going back in the years of Bosco, they had Josh Rosen a few years ago, who's projected to be a top three pick in the NFL draft next year from UCLA. They've had Damian Mama that's already in the league. Wyatt Davis, as we talked about, they usually have about 10, 15 D1 guys every year. So they're rolling. I know the one they're already looking at in eighth grade because he's my buddy T. Martin's son.
There you go.
And they're trying to recruit him to be after the guy after DJ. So he's the guy that Lane's already offered before he was in eighth grade.
Yeah, so that made headlines all over the place.
Yeah, Caden. Magically, I got the scoop on that one. But so they're constantly in reload mold, just like St. Thomas is.
And listen, guys, we're going to inside drill. This here's what we consider inside drill, to where they're pretty much just working tackle to tackle, working the linebackers, and they're looking at. This normally is an offensive period to where they're checking out the gaps and staying on point when it comes to linemen firing off and getting where they got to get, to where you got the defensive backs and the receivers. They're doing their one-on-ones, and they're making sure that them safeties are making sure that no one gets behind them, because they're going to see some speed Friday night.
No doubt. And what a treat again. This isn't the only, though, national game coming up this weekend in South Florida. We got Pat Surtain's team, American Heritage, who was very impressive last weekend, beating Ice Harris's bunch, Booker T. Washington, which is a national program too. They really took it at Ice's bunch, but they'll be going up to the 757 in Tidewater to play the number one program in Virginia Beach, Chris Sullivan's Bishop Sullivan team, or Chris Scott, excuse me, and they have the top linebacker in the country, Taraja Mitchell, who's headed to Ohio State. They probably have about 10 D1 guys, so that'll be a challenge for Heritage. Last year, after slipping up against ICE's team, they rebounded, went to South Georgia, got a big win over Colquitt County.
Got a huge win.
Right, so that kind of totally turned around their season. They didn't lose after that.
Because when we watched that game, we was there and we watched that game.
That surprised both of us.
Yeah.
We didn't expect that to happen that night.
At all, because it was a young ICE team at that time. And we thought that American Heritage was a team that was advanced. They were ready to go
just
in.
Just so loaded.
They had the big back, they were loaded.
Yeah, the two big offensive linemen.
We were going to go in, Herbert, they was going to go in there. They was going to dominate that. But ICE and those young guys came in there and they stated earlier, hey, we're going to win this. It's not going to be we've heard all week that y'all underestimated us, but we're going to go in here and we're going to show you guys that, hey, guess what? We play football regardless of what it is. Dade County plays football. These are the type of matchups that Dade County teams been yearning for years.
Right.
They've been wanting the number one teams to come down and play the Northwesters, the Carroll Cities. They want these matchups, but it seems like they don't get these type of matchups. I'm wondering, because if it's the financial part.
Right, it's got to be the funding, because you're seeing the schools that are doing it, as you're saying, Thomas, American Heritage, that have the financial backing.
They have the financial backing, that they can get on the road, and you know, their alumni base is not short of not having any money. But when you look at the public school district, and Ryan, it goes back to when I say South Florida is the number one school, number one state when it comes to recruiting.
By far.
But they do not pay their coaches at all.
No, that's why you're seeing constant coaches. And some coaches will leave head jobs just because they'll get more money as an assistant for a private school.
Of course.
Yeah, it's one of the sad things, because then you see so much turnover. And with turnover comes mass transfers, too.
Mass transfers. And not only with the transfer, and we break that down, because they only get a stipend. They're a year-to-year stipend.
Mm-hmm.
We broke it down. I did the math, because here in South Florida, coaches are year-round guys. They don't just coach during the season. It broke down to 79 cents. Less than 79 cents.
An hour.
An hour. Less than 79 cents an hour.
Hmm.
Less.
Yeah, that's
kind of mind-boggling.
That's happen.
Yeah. Mind-boggling when you are looking at six figures in states like Texas,
Cali. Yep. North Jersey, for sure.
Yeah, Jersey.
Yep. South Carolina, Georgia. Yep, they both pay really well. Alabama.
You look at these states, and I've asked several guys here that has big contacts, how are we getting away, or how is being gotten away with to where you can pay these guys this less, but expect to be on the national stage.
Right. When some of them, the hardest thing that they have is keeping their kids at that one school.
Yeah.
Because you got so many different hands in the pot that they wind up at different schools. So, and that's no way to build a program.
Especially now that the state then said that, hey, you can move freely.
Right.
Now. You can move around freely without any stipulations versus what it used to be, to where there better not be any recruiting. Then you couldn't follow a head coach. If a head coach transferred to a school, you could not follow that head coach. This thing has gotten wide open. When I say wide open, I mean wide open, to where, guess what? You may have thought you had me. I trained with you all summer, and then I transfer over to a school like a Dillard, Cardinal Gibbons, or something like that. So. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting. I bring up Cardinal Gibbons. And
I got to see them last Friday.
Yes.
Yep.
So that's they got a big test this week.
Yeah, at Miami Southridge, who opened up today as the AP number one ranked team in 8A, the biggest division in Florida.
Yes.
They were my prediction to win it all last year. That hit when I called that they were going to beat Deerfield, and then went on to beat Dr. Phillips. They lost a lot, but they still got the two stud DNs in James Head and Randy Charlton, who I feel are under-recruited. They got two stud junior linebackers, Diamante Howard, a UM commit, and James Head, or Joe Smith, excuse me. Offensively, you got Mark Pope, who's probably the top, if not the top recruit, the top wide receiver in Florida, if not the country.
But now, with Cardinal Gibbons' young Well, he's not young, but still, you know, quarterback.
Only a junior, Nick Scalzo, yeah, who we still, both love.
Yeah, it's going to seem like he's going to be around forever when he becomes a senior.
Right. And now, just thoughts from last week. They played against Melbourne Catholic Central, one of the top teams in the Space Coast. Their top guy, Levante Valentine, the running back, did not play in the game. He was banged up. His younger brother played, did a great job. Sure. So it was a quality competition. It was a fourth quarter game. And Gibbons, you could tell, just still kind of getting into that mode. It was early season, and you saw it back and forth. They did not play the DN very much in Chris Bogle. So they were playing their twos and threes. So I think that's a great measuring stick for them on Saturday night to see, because Southridge wants to play those games 17-7, 14-7, correct, rely on his defense, you know, go to the running game, maybe play, you know, Mark Polk makes a big play in the special teams. But Gibbons, they want to put some points up.
I think I want to, and I definitely will be in the building to watch that one, because that's going to be a matchup I want to see.
It's going to be exciting.
And it's going to tell an early test of how Cardinal Gibbons is going to match up against some of the teams that they may have to come back down the road in out of Dade County, and some big tests that's got to come back through. And their
ultimate litmus test will be when they play Heritage probably twice this season.
And that's going to be that's been their Achilles heel.
Right.
Trying to, you know, advance deeper into the playoffs is American Heritage. I think if there have been any year within the last 3 years that they can beat American Heritage, I see the matchup more to where it's a little bit more even than it has been in the past, to where that matchup. And Gibbons played them pretty tough last year.
Mm-hmm.
I think with a couple of little breaks here and there, that game could have possibly went.
And some of that is the air raid offense.
Yes.
The Coach DeBuck runs, and the QB play. He's the X factor.
Yes.
Because he's so mobile. And when you just think you have the play broken down, he's so quick laterally, and he's not afraid to take the shot steep too.
And that's gonna, like I said, that's gonna be the key to that matchup. But it's another matchup of Dade and Broward. Also, Deerfield goes to play, also travels to Dade County in a good matchup to play Dade, because it's that Dade, what they consider that Dade and Broward matchup.
Yeah, because they got Carroll City,
yes,
who held in there with IMG, who's really not even a high school team.
Yes,
more of a JUCO. And they played really good. That's going to be a great game. That might be one of the better ones of the weekend, because Carroll City has the best backfield in South Florida, and Cameron Davis, a Miami commit, to go with Naquan Wright, a national recruit. So you got those two studs. And then Deerfield coming off an impressive win against Chaminade, 10-7, who also has a big game tomorrow night that I'll be at. They play at Miami Central. So we get to see two of our favorite running backs in the country, and Sean Shivers, Worm, against James Cook.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good matchup. If you want to see some running that's going to take place, miles and miles of running, that is the game to be at.
Yeah, talk about three nights in a row where on a Thursday night you get Chaminade, who has 20 D1 guys, against Miami Central, who has just as many and is loaded. And Roland's always got a national power there. Friday night, you get Carroll City and Deerfield Beach, who Deerfield went to the semis last year. Carroll City won the state. That's just big on big. A lot of dogs in that game. And then Saturday night, up-and-coming program with one of the top QBs in Florida and Cardinal Gibbons against the defending 8A champs in Miami Southridge. So, I mean, we're here today at Bosco's practice, and we're going to see probably the top billing game, two national teams in Aquinas and Bosco. But it's a special weekend in South Florida because all three of those games at Traz could go either way.
Listen.
Spreads in those games are 3 or 4 points.
There's no other place that you would want to be when it comes to football on a Thursday night, a Friday night, or a Saturday night than in South Florida. I mean, you getting the best of football. You got California coming down.
Yeah.
Number one. They come to South Florida. Then you got Broward and Dade squaring off. So, I mean, you can't get better matchups when it comes to high school football than what you're going to get this weekend.
And we're going to see future pros in those four games. James exactly. Cook, who's either going to go to Georgia, maybe Louisville. We know what his brother did. We know what he's going to do.
See where he's at.
Right. The defensive end for Cardinal Gibbons, Chris Bogle, he's just dripping upside. He reminds me of Brian Burns, who's at Florida State.
Yes.
In this game alone, Bosco is loaded with 20 guys. St. Thomas is loaded, if not more. And then obviously the great running backs for Chaminade,
yes,
and Xavier Williams, who's an Alabama commit, one of the top receivers in the country.
You got to understand, and I had a chance, and you look at Worm, is kind of, he's still kind of pissed because he felt like when the rankings came out, mm-hmm, he got, you know, they didn't fare out well for him.
Right.
So he's running this year even more with the chip than he's had in the past year.
Well, you know what? All those stuff are fun, and you know, they make for good conversation.
Yes.
But now's your time to show it.
Yeah.
I was just talking to Jaden Woodby,
yes,
who you know, gave me that wild quote that Bosco's going to win by 30 points.
Oh.
And he was talking about the rankings. He knew his rankings better than I did.
I'm not going to even
go
see,
there.
That's been to become bulletin board material for someone.
Right.
When you say that, that will be bulletin board for someone's
right
locker.
And like I said, those guys in Columbus, Ohio, if they magically hear about that,
magically
they'd
delicious
be like, we don't agree with you there, but we'd love to have you, kid.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting matchup when it comes to this football game. You can't get, like I said, you look at the guys, these guys are dialed in.
Right, and you can see
they're
that.
Dialed in. They're
I like
dialed
this
in
setup because you can see that these guys are running organized practices. You've seen the special teams. You've seen 7-on-7. You've seen inside zone.
We've got a chance to see
punt
it all.
Return, kick return. I mean, individual. They're constantly doing something.
Everybody's moving. Everybody is involved in everything of this nature. So, I mean, this is going to, then, like I say, we just outside of a press box. We have the great Blaze from American Gladiators.
Right. Maybe we'll get her on in a little bit here.
American,
she can tell us the
Gladiators
story about raising Rial Mitchell and how she as a Nebraska alum is going to let her son go to Iowa State.
And, you know, and it's interesting because I've the host of American Gladiators, Mike Adamley.
Yes.
His brother coached me at the University of Kansas.
Everybody's connected.
Adamley, yeah. Man, Adamley was. And when his brother would come to town, because, you know, my wife and I, we loved it watching American Gladiator. That
Heck
was that
yeah
first thing of what you would call CrossFit type of stuff that was going on, and the excitement of it, and just to see you got athletes competing on television, competing against each other.
It was like roller derby meets Saturday night's main event, and just had
yes,
that toughness,
I mean, that,
level.
That toughness of everything, just to see that Mike, and like I said, Mike was a great host when it came to that, and that's when I first, you know, I didn't even know who he was until, you know, his brother Vic Adamley was coaching me, and Mike was a great analyst when it came to that, but Blaze was one of the best.
Right,
when it
and
came
the first
to
time
that
I met her was actually, long story short, just, and this is just kind of the life in Southern California, because
yes,
you
yes,
see a lot
yes,
of people
yes
like this, but Wyatt Davis, who I scouted when he was a sophomore, no offers, had started 8-9 games by then, ready to go in the playoffs. Did a little video of him. He magically showed up the next day as a 4-star top 100 recruit in the country.
Wow.
He's a guy we talked about last week. Mario Cristobal offered him first at Alabama. Well, his dad actually is Dwayne Davis, who was Alvin Mack in the show The Program.
Wow.
The linebacker, and his grandpa was played defensive end for Vince Lombardi. Davis, so and when you go to Cali, you're never going to have a shortage of celebrities.
Of celebrities that you may come in contact with. But this, like I say, this matchup, man, is the matchup that the nation is waiting on. ESPN matchup, everything about it is exciting. Everything about this is exciting.
I like the comparison to Alabama, Florida State, because
yes,
great coaches, disciplined programs. One's a high-scoring, high-octane bunch. Another one can beat you in all three phases of the game.
Both coaches are alumni of their schools.
Yes.
Both are alumni. Went back, left their schools, went and coached other schools, waited on that dream job to come, and went back to their alma mater.
And since they got back, they've won almost every game.
Every game.
Because they know that the community, the culture, the history, the expectations, and they've actually both taken it to a new level.
Yeah. Taking it to a great level when it comes to how you want to elevate these football programs. I mean, this is
right. And just knowing both these coaches, too, they're in it for the right reasons. They help their kids out. Yes. They're very tied in with all the national recruiters in the country. And when they come to January, if there's a kid that somehow doesn't have a home, they're both calling me all the time, and we're working it to try to help these kids out. And that's the name of the game.
That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. As we get a chance here to see some of the before we rain, we're going to go off the air, but we're going to be back on the air Friday night live from St. Thomas Aquinas High School. You can't be in a better place.
On site. On that show, I've polled 50 college coaches to get their thoughts. Which way are you going to go this week? Paradise B or Paradise A?
Which one?
Bosco or Aquinas? It's pretty close. It's like 60-40 Aquinas.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see, but we got some late votes coming in the next 48 hours.
This is South Florida, right? To where voting has been an issue,
right?
The last couple of years.
And so I'm waiting for a lot of my South Florida recruiters to still vote because they're in camp right now. Yes. Plus, we're 3 hours behind all my West Coast contacts. So sometimes you wake up in the morning and you get a bunch of those.
The time has changed, and we're making sure here in South Florida that there is no messing up of the poll, the ballot. You know, this thing gets crazy in South Florida when it comes to any type of voting. But like I said, as I'm looking at number 86, these are big, and their lower trunks are huge.
Yeah, Sal Spina right there, who you see him with the knee brace on. He had missed a season, but he was a four-star guy at a young age, got an early Fresno State offer. I remember seeing him and Jacob Callier that wound up at Colorado. They made a heck of a defensive line.
This thing is
And look exciting. At Riel throwing a little 10-yard out there. So, for a lot of people saying this guy's just a runner, he's shown in the last year he can also he's a legit dual threat.
Correct.
And for some people, they see that 21-200 and that 4-4 laser, and they're like, we're going to have you as an athlete. Well, Iowa State's like, we're going to run spread tempo, and you can stay at QB.
Wow. This is exciting to watch, just to watch him. It reminds you, like I said, this is the way when colleges get ready to go to bowl games. This is the stuff.
Right, and the pretty safety out there, number six. Yes. Look at him. All a 6'2", 200. I mean, that's
pretty – what you call –
That's an All-American right there.
Passing the eye test when it comes to
and a confident one, too, with his bold prediction tonight.
Hey, you put it out there. You said, hey, listen, it's already out. It's in the airways now. Now, guess what? It's going to be time in the next 48 hours that he's going to get a chance, him and his team, to be able to come to South Florida and back that type of performance.
Right, because you better be in the right place, because if you're not, Tavarus Kelly or Elijah Moore, they're gone.
They're gone.
And then those two kids can run sub 4.4s all day.
So now it's going to be a matchup of speed on speed, and this game is going to, like I say, that you guys understand, this game will be won in the trenches. In the trenches. Everybody's coming to look at this speed on the outside.
Right, and I'm thinking, like, taking the over. The over-under is probably 70. I'm calling 10 touchdowns in one game, and I got the over in it.
Listen, I am an alumni, so I listen. But it's for me, it's going to be hard to see them coming to South Florida, dealing with the young team, dealing with the elements. Mm-hmm. You're already here. Sometimes does that excitement get here early, he looks good.
And it's early in the season. That was the backup QB.
Yeah, and slung that. He's there right now. You got to figure that went by 50 in the air by itself. So, listen, this is going to be a great game, folks.
It's must-see TV. I encourage all our local listeners, get there in person, because any live event's way better in person than on TV. Yeah. And it's going to be a packed house.
I will be in the building early. It is going down this Friday night at a Brian Piccolo Field in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. If you can't be there, you better get on the tube and watch it, because it is the game of the week here in South Florida. And I'm quite sure the game of the week in the nation, when you're talking about two perennial powerhouses when it comes to recruiting, when it comes to football, when it comes to academics, you name it. these two schools got it. Ryan, let's just, while we go out there, give us your prediction.
Whew, you don't want me to wait till Friday. You want me to get it out now.
Well, we're going to hold it.
Yeah, I'm going to take the over, though. Remember, the over-under I have now is probably 72. It went up. And I'm still taking the over.
All right.
Cool. So that could be like a 38-35 game.
Wow.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. So,
you're going to get a chance to see
right.
it.
Right. And obviously, you know where my prediction is going to go because I live in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. He's in Lauderdale.
I don't live in Paradise Beach.
And he's got to be able to get on these cameras and these right. kids not jug at him. Where, so you picked them of us, huh? All right. See, he's got to live here in South Florida just as I live here.
Right. One I go to state. 3 times a year. The other one maybe 40. So. Yes.
Listen, it is the game. So we signing off here live from Auto Nation Football Field at the practice of Bosco Football. You can follow me and my boy Ryan. Go to Twitter, fire at Ryan Bartow. You can follow me at Tony Sands. Listen, follow us. We are those guys that's going to give you the updates on everything that's going here on in football throughout the nation. Until we see you guys Friday night, Ryan, send us off with one good quote of the day.
Paradise B, Paradise A, Friday night lights, thank the Lord you're back.
And we're signing off. You heard it. This is the Tony Sands Show with my main man, Ryan Bartow. See you Friday as we get ready for the matchup of the century. St. Thomas Aquinas against St. John Bosco. We're signing off.